Good morning. That's better. How many of you before you came this morning knew that something was going on this week? A few of you? How many of you got here this morning and went, "What?"
Sorry.
That's okay. What that tells us is we need to improve our communication. That's really all that it tells us. God is good. So I've asked my wife to join me up here because this is as much for her to share as it is for me. But on Tuesday, I came home from work, and right before bedtime, I had a little problem that panicked me. It's the only way I know to describe it is that it made me really sit up and take notice. I felt tingling in my right arm and side, and I told her, I said, "Something ain't right. You need to get over here and pray for me." So she did. And then it went away. And when it went away, we went to bed. Everybody can look at me and think I'm stupid, but I believe in the power of prayer. Amen. In the morning, I got up, I got a shower, I went to work. It felt great. About 10:30, I started to feel that tingling again, and I began to pray because there wasn't anybody at work that I felt like I could call and say, "Hey, come pray with me." I mean, my son works there with me, but he'd have been more panicked than I was. And I just felt the Holy Ghost say, "Go get that checked out." And I said, "Okay, I can do that." I walked into my son's office and I said, "I'm going to the hospital and I'll let you know what's going on." And he looked at me like, "You're what?" He said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Do you want me to drive you?" And I said, "No."
I'm going to interject here. So my son has said, "I think I get my laid backness from dad because I've always watched him and he is, you know, always cool, calm, you know." And he said, "I had no idea that morning that he drove himself." Well, he said, "If I'd known, I probably wouldn't have driven myself." But I also wanted to point out that sometimes, you know, we get healed and we pray. We need to be tuned into the Holy Spirit because thank you, Jesus, and you'll hear as this story unfolds, that he was able to get our attention. Because sometimes we do what we know to do. We need to really pay attention to what the Spirit of God is. He's trying to save your life. He's trying to keep us. He's our shepherd.
Amen. If you guys get preempted, is that okay? So if you guys get preempted, is that okay? We may not get enough time. Okay.
He's long-winded, not me today.
No, I'm beginning to sense the direction things are going. So I drove myself to the hospital, and I got up there, and I got irritated because I couldn't find a parking place. And I drove around, and I drove around. Finally, I said, "Forget this. I'm going to find a parking place where there is one." And I went down the hill, and I parked about as far away from the hospital as I could, and walked back up to the emergency room. And I walked in and I told him what was going on. You know, you should always feel a little nervous when you walk into the emergency room and you tell them what's going on and they don't ask your name, they don't ask for any of your information, they take you immediately to a room. It means they're more concerned about what's going on than you are. And I did, and I went in and they began immediately to administer the stroke protocols. And I failed. I failed big time. And so that resulted in making sure that I got lots of tests. Of course, I did text Lynn and say, "By the way, I'm at the ER."
I was at the women and I were all at Bible study. I kept hearing this humming in my purse, and I turn it off in case I get a business call. I'm not going to answer that during Bible study. But I kept hearing persistent, so I checked it as soon as we were done. And they all were chit-chatting in there. And when I came back in, I was like, "I got to go. You guys pray. I got to go. I'm going to the hospital. He's at the hospital."
So they sent me immediately for a CAT scan. And then they sent me for an MRI. And then they sent me for a sonogram of my carotid arteries, all the things which are for stroke protocol. And as I was laying there, they were explaining to me all the things that could be going on and why I needed to be concerned, and I just had such peace in the middle of it all. You know, it pays to be hooked up to the God of the universe. He said, thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. But that's not the end of it. It says, because he trusts thee. Yeah. And in the middle of everything that was going on, I just didn't have any choice but to trust God, because I knew what he was up to. He was up to making sure that my life was what he wants it to be. Just plain and simple. And as I was laying there, there just was no anxiety. My blood pressure, they took my blood pressure, and it was 209 over 133.
Now, he does have white coat syndrome. So a lot of times when he hits the hospital, but they were concerned and needed to get it down because that's high.
No, they were panicked. But 209 over 133 is not my highest, so I wasn't really concerned.
Brag about it.
And the nurse said, that's pretty high. And I said, oh, that's nothing. And she said, what are you talking about? And I said, well, last time that you guys panicked, it was 210 over 155. And she said, you shouldn't do this. I said, well, I really hadn't planned it. In the middle of it all, you just think about what the Word says. He sent his Word and he healed me and delivered me from all my destructions. He sent his Word and he healed me and he delivered me from all my destructions. Doesn't matter what it is. He sent his Word and he healed me and he delivered me from all my destructions. So then the test results started coming back in. The first thing they wanted to talk about was an aneurysm they found on my brain. That sounds bad. But it sounds even worse when your dad has died as a result of a ruptured aneurysm in his brain that happened while he was on blood thinners. So needless to say, I was a little tweaked by that.
Do you remember the story where Jesus was healing and they came with a bad report, and he said, right away he said, fear not. Because see, that is the end the devil has. And he had a story in his past where the devil destroyed. And so, of course, that comes up in your mind because the devil's going to make sure it's in your mind. And so you have to decide at that point where you are and who you are in him. And that's an example. That is not the truth. The truth is what God says. So we all have opportunities come into our life to stand on the Word of God.
The thing that I want to make sure you hear is that if you meditate the Word, not just in the middle of a situation, but you meditate the Word day in and day out, there'll be Word inside of you to work. And as I was meditating on the Word while I was going through this, one of the things that the Lord started to bring scriptures. And one of the things he said was, smite the shepherd and the sheep will flee. And I said, wait a minute, we're not having any of this. And he said, I need you to come out victorious. I need you to come out victorious. Well, that makes it sound like it's up to me. The only thing that was up to me was believing him. Amen. That's it. Everything else is up to him. And so I began to just say, okay, Father, whatever you're doing, I relax in that. They came back in, they took my blood pressure, and it was down to 154 over something, and that was much better. They kept telling me how, I was going to have to be on blood pressure medication after this, that this was a sure sign that I was going to have to be on blood pressure medication, and that it was a sure sign that things were really bad, and my life was hanging in the balance, and if you listen to the world, they will destroy you. I mean, they'll kill you graveyard dead. So the one thing they said right away after my CAT scan was, we don't understand. You don't have any evidence of a stroke. None. Remember, I failed the protocols coming in. And I received his Word.
The only effect you had, the only thing he had was a tingling on the right side. So it didn't fit any of their protocol. And so they just took
am an enigma.
Yeah. They just took every test they could think of to try and find out what was wrong.
So We went through all of that, and of course they've got me there, and they take me upstairs and admit me for observation, because what else are they going to do? They can't figure out what's going on. And while we were saying, I was a little nervous, because they kept asking questions that didn't make any sense, like, was I pregnant? No, it wasn't. They asked that question at least 5 times while I was in.
If I was pregnant,
did I have an IUD in place?
In this day and age, you have to ask that, because there are people, you know. And I texted to my kids. I said, Dad just went in for an ultrasound. And I said to them, I never thought those words would ever come out of my mouth.
So, am I pregnant? They're sending me for an ultrasound, and my nurse is a lactation counselor. Something is wrong with this picture. The nurse who was the lactation counselor came in, and she said to the doctor who was talking to me, said, his troponin level is 1.2. And the way she said it, I knew it worried her. And I didn't know what it was. And had I known what it was, it probably would have scared me to death. The detectable level of troponin is 0.04. Is that right? Something like that. The desired level is less than 0.5. And mine was 1.2. And so therefore, they were a little concerned about what was going on with my heart. And they explained to me all the things that could cause it, but that really didn't matter. Because nothing I was going to do was going to change it except believe God. I was going to trust him no matter what. And so they decided that because of that, they were going to send me to Altoona for a heart catheterization. They put me in the ambulance, set me off. By the time I got to Altoona, my troponin level was 1.7. And they were nervous. So they finally got around to sending me down for a heart catheterization after they sent me for an MRI on my neck, and after they sent me for something else, and after they took about a quart of blood. Yeah, they were telling me my kidneys were going to die. And
well, they were trying to find the root, and so they were testing everything.
Everything. And I went down for my heart catheterization, and they put me in, and the guy said, okay, I'm going to give you a little something that's going to relax you, and that was the last thing I remembered. I was so relaxed, I fell asleep. And they literally woke me up to tell me what was going on. Said, we're going to put a stent in. And they did that. And they said, now we're going to put a second one in. And they did that. And the guy who was on the other side said, now, does your chest hurt at all? I said, yeah, it does. He said, on a scale of 1 to 10, I hate this question. On a scale of 1 to 10, what's your pain? And I said, low, but it's there. And he said, okay. And he gave me a little something. It was gone. And they finished everything up, and they were folding up all the draping and everything. And he walked over to me, and he grabbed me by the hand, and he said, I'm so glad you came in. He said, if you had come in tomorrow, I'm not sure we'd have been able to have this conversation. I had one artery that was 100% blocked. And it was from a heart attack that took place somewhere, they guessed, about 3 or 4 years ago that I didn't know I had. Didn't know it.
He can remember.
When we think back about it, I can think about what happened and go, oh, that's what that was. But it wasn't anything where I felt my life was threatened. And this time around, I didn't have any symptoms at all of heart trouble. Had I not gone to the hospital when I did, under the leading of the Holy Spirit, I'd have never known about where things were. They wouldn't have done anything because they wouldn't have known. And literally, it was a life-saving procedure. And I kind of laugh because I didn't feel bad going in. I didn't feel bad while I was there. And I feel good now. I feel great now. God is so good.
So throughout this whole thing, I said to him, and smokescreen is not the right word I want. You know how in Psalm 23 it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And I think that really was like God was holding our hand through this whole thing, that we knew we were coming out on the other side, and it was symptoms that, I mean, the
Tingling.
I always want to say tickling, twinkling, or whatever. The tingling was real to him, but that's the only thing. The blood pressure read was real, but we spoke that came down. And so so you may have symptoms and you may have things in your life and that come up against you, but the bottom line is if your trust is in him and that's really fix your eyes on Jesus, then he's going to hold your hand and take you through, because his desire is to see you live and not die. Amen.
For the last several weeks, I've been teaching you about following the leading of the Holy Spirit and about believing for the impossible. And Lindsay and Michaela went to Israel and did both. And praise God for the testimony that they're going to share with us. But the fact of the matter is, we're talking about something that we need to do in everyday life. Amen. It shouldn't be an extraordinary thing. It should be an everyday life thing. Tracy can tell you about starting to learn about healing at just the right time to get what you need to come out victorious. I posted on Facebook, for those of you not on Facebook, God bless you. My son tells me Facebook is of the devil, and I'm not so sure he isn't right, but it is a way to be able to give testimony too. And I posted last night, and over 100 people have seen what I posted and responded to it. Thank God for that. But I am here to do it. That's the important thing. I'm here to do it. Psalm 118, it says, "The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and declare the works of the Lord." It goes on, it says, "The Lord has chastened me severely, but he's not given me over to death." When we look at the situation, somebody's going to ask, inevitably, somebody's going to ask, "Well, what did you do to deserve that?" I'm a sinner. The wages of sin is death. I have every day something that I have to repent of, just so you know. Sin is something that I am at war against, and I win. Amen. My sin is not an outright, I'm out there doing stupid things. It's a battle of the mind. I have to battle thoughts all the time. And with this whole thing, I had to battle some thoughts about what life was going to be like from here on out. Right, Cindy? And I had to be able to say with the word, "I shall live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. I shall not die, I shall live and declare the works of the Lord."
In Psalm, I think it's 92, isn't that what I sent you yesterday? I think Psalm 92, it talks about going from strength to strength. Well, how do you get to from strength to strength? You're going to have opportunities come into your life. Every day there are opportunities, maybe not quite so dramatic, but, you know, God is good to help us to grow as we, you know, we just look back at how he brought us through each one, each thing. There is a very real devil. There are very real evil things here on the earth. You know, we live in a tumultuous time, but God is here to take us through, and that's what he wants to do. And so we got to have that, I'm going to say, fighting spirit. It's not that we're doing the fight. We stand on the word of God. He's already won this battle, but we have to stand on his word. So when something comes in, you just say, "No, I'm like drawing the line in the sand. This is it. You're not taking this." You know, I think it was Kathy, I texted and said, "We have 35 more years that God got with us on the earth." So, you know.
At least,
yeah. I told him he wasn't going for 40. I didn't think I could get him that far, but 35 is good. Hey, there are 90-some-year-old people out there making a difference for Jesus.
Amen. She has said since we were married that we're going together, and I told her I didn't believe in murder-suicide.
I was in my 20s. Come on.
But I sleep with one eye open.
worry about until you're 95.
Psalm 105 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people." I've shared some things with you when we've been here, and I know some of you probably look at me like I'm weird because I say things sometimes that just sound off the wall. My mom came to me years ago. It's been probably 30-some years ago, and she explained to me that she had been diagnosed with diabetes. It's a family thing that you need to understand. You're genetically predisposed to it. And I insulted her royally because I turned to her and I said, "Oh, no, I'm not." And she got incensed and said, "How can you say that?" And I said, "Because I changed bloodlines." But now I have proof. One of the things that came out of all the testing is I'm not diabetic.
Amen.
No, you didn't hear what I said. I'm not diabetic.
That's right.
In the process of all this, you know, they're telling me all about my blood pressure and how bad my blood pressure was and all of that. You really get tired of hearing it. And finally, one of the doctors came in and said, "I see your blood pressure is really good." And I didn't say anything. And he said, "You won't have to take any medication." You guys aren't listening, are you? I've been through this. I had to take medication at one time because my blood pressure was so high. And I had to work for 60 days with the word and with convincing the doctor that I wasn't going to have to need it. I took medication because he told me I had to. And I said, "Let me make a deal with you. I'll take your medication for 30 days. And then for 30 days after that, I'll take my blood pressure every time you want me to, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times a day if you want, for another 30 days. And we'll decide which way is the better way to do it." And after 60 days, he said, "You don't need medication." And I said, "Absolutely not." When I went into the hospital, they said there's no way that I would ever be without blood pressure medication again. My nurse came in the day that they were discharging me, and she said, "It's going to be a little bit. I have to get your medication list changed." I said, "Really?" And she said, "Yeah, they for some reason they gave you a blood pressure medication, but you don't need it."
Amen.
And she got it taken off. The doctor said, "Well, there's no need for this. God's word works."
Amen.
So then comes the question, well, if God is so good and God does such great things, why'd you have to have surgery? Why'd you have to have a heart catheterization? Why'd you get stents? I don't know. But I'll tell you this. I'm alive.
Amen.
The rest of it is immaterial. I will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. Well, you're going to have to be on this, you're going to have to be on that, you're going to have to be, yeah, so what? Who knows what God will do? I shared with you not too long ago about the fellow in Pittsburgh that his pacemaker, all of the leads and the scars were all completely healed when he was healed in a Catherine Coleman meeting. If you think God loves him more than he loves me, you're wrong. So God can take the stents, the blockages, and everything, and make it gone.
It really is. How far do you want to believe God for? Because sometimes we just have the faith at the time, maybe, because your faith hadn't grown too much in that area, and you may just be able to believe God to come through it and do what you need to do. But then there's that mountain-moving faith that God wants us all to be able to get to, and we're all working on that. We're working on being led by the Spirit. We're working on living in health and walking in health. And then, you know, we see people with great miraculous testimonies, but this is no less miraculous because he, like the doctor said, if he had gone a few more days, it could have been a massive heart attack. So God is so good to protect. God is so good to guide us and lead us and take care of us until we get to that point, and we will, you know, we get more and more like him every day and go from strength to strength as we grow.
Amen.
So some of us are babies and growing, but his point is he's not going to take you out. He don't want to take you out. It's not him.
I've often thought I'm up to the terrible twos. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. I've been doing that all week long. I've been witnessing in the setting that I was in and telling people about how much God loves me and telling them about what God was going to do in all this. Every morning Burl sends me a little something to encourage me. I can't tell you how important that's been this week. Getting that little word of encouragement in the midst of the battle was sometimes the difference between making it and not making it. I want to encourage you that if God prompts you to speak to somebody, speak to them. If God prompts you just to send them a text, send it. Don't miss the opportunity to obey God.
No matter who it is, because you may look at that person and think they're really super strong, but we all have times that that word of encouragement, when we come in here, even in here into church, we're to bring something. We're to bring an offering. And that offering is not just monetary. You may have a scripture God gave you through the week that he gave you to give to somebody else to help them. So we do need to be very, very cognizant of the fact that the Holy Ghost wants to use you.
Amen. In everything that's been going on, of course, we're believing for the impossible. Always believing for the impossible. Whether we're talking about this situation, or whether we're talking about the upcoming tent meeting, or whether we're talking about things that are going on, God is the God of the impossible.
Amen.
Well, what's he going to do? I don't know. But I'm going to get in on it. I'm going to hang out with him. And I'm going to enjoy the ride. And when it happens, I'm going to be quick to give him praise. I'm going to be quick to stand up and say, God is able to do even more than this. He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly above what you can ask or even imagine. So, I don't know about you, but I got some pretty big dreams. I have a vivid imagination. Yeah. And he can do more than that. So if I can imagine it, he can do it. If I can imagine it, he can do it and more. So I don't want to miss the opportunities that he's going to bring my way. And I'm thankful that I get to do it alive.
I think, Phil, was it you back 6 months ago or whatever, somewhere around back in the fall, you said about seeing a picture? Picture yourself. What are you seeing in your mind? Because that imagination, you can use for good or you can use for bad. The fear part of you wants to use that for bad. You'll see all kinds of pictures in there that you probably don't want to see. But you can use that imagination for good. And it's not, when we think imagination, we think fake. But it's not fake. It's when you're getting a picture based on the Word of God, that is what you're seeing. That's what God's seeing, and that's what you need to see because he's faithful.
The Bible says where there is no vision, the people perish. It says where there is no vision, people cast off restraint. In other words, they do whatever they want to do because there's nothing that guides them or directs them. We have a vision. At Christ Victory Church, we are a worshiping church.
Amen.
Come on. We are making disciples. In other words, we're not doing this just for our generation.
Amen.
This will continue until Jesus comes. And we, Christ Victory Church, will be an impact on the world until Jesus comes. We are changing the course of history by being doers of the word. It's not enough to sit back and hear good things. It's not enough to be able to share in great testimonies. We must be doers of the word and not hearers only.
Amen.
And whether it's going to another nation and doing something or whether it's going to Walmart, the fact of the matter is we are here to make a difference. I'm looking forward to the future and what God has in store. I know that the end of the story has not been written. And I intend to be in on it. Amen? You know, we are so blessed to have good ministry that goes on here. I was talking to Esther the other day, and we were talking about praying for her last Sunday, and she was saying how powerful it was, and I was saying, oh, yeah. I enjoy praying for people when it's like that. Little did I know how much that anointing would mean to me just a couple of days later. It's the same anointing. It's the same anointing. Well, what about when things don't... Look, I did not plan on Wednesday to be in the hospital. Okay? But look at me. I will lift up my hands in praise to the Lord, which they tell me is impossible if you've had a stroke. Every day they came in and said, smile big for me. I did. And every one of them said, well, you don't show any evidence. So I got ready to leave, and the nurse came to me, and she said, I just want you to know you're atypical.
In a good way.
I think that was supposed to be a compliment.
Close.
I'm not normal. I'm supernatural. And I will see the will of God done in my life, in your life, in the life of this church. We will see the will of God done with power.
How many of you have seen the Star Wars? I know, Jim. So the old ones, you know, the one from the 70s. You know.
The real ones, yeah.
Yeah, the starter ones. You know the force that they were talking about there? The force be with you. May the force be with you. When you saw them in there, because it's just such a picture of the power of God in our lives. And so when you see that in there, when we first start putting our faith out there, it's like, you know, they couldn't get hardly anything to do what they wanted it to do, and it didn't go very far if they were trying to, you know, move stuff, whatever. And so I see it as a like the life of faith. You know, you start out, but you get stronger the more you use it. And pretty soon, if you've been writing down and journaling what God has done in your life, all the little things, building, 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 the impossible does not look impossible to you any longer, because you see what God is and who he is in you.
And whatever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord, not unto men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. I'm going to do it to the best of my ability, whole hog. It's not a very kosher statement, but it works. I'm going to see God's will done in the earth. I pray it. I expect it. Come your kingdom, be done your will. Amen?
Amen.
Maybe you're here this morning and they haven't been very good to you in telling you about what's in your future. You can believe what they say, or you can believe what God says.
Amen.
You can believe them, or you can believe God. It's your choice. If I believe them, I might be dead today. But I believe God. Length of days and fullness of life belongs to me.
Amen.
Length of days and fullness of life. That's not 13 years in a pamper.
Right.
I don't think that I'm being insulting to people who are in that situation, because I'm not. I'm just telling you, if you can believe God, there's no reason why you have to go through that.
Amen.
And I'm not. I'm not going to do it. When the day comes, I'm going to look over at whoever's there, and I'm going to say, I'll see you later. And I'm going to leave. Just that simple. And if you're there, don't panic, and do not bring me back. The world will always tell you that there's one more thing, just to undermine your faith. So the last thing they said to me was, you can't leave yet. We got one more test to run. We figure that the problem that you have, the disease that causes the problem that you have is Lyme disease. We're going to test for it. Yeah. I don't care what they say. I am the healed.
And I want to bring attention to that because they wanted to test him because the tingling
never quit
had lessened, but it did not go away after that heart cath. So sometimes you're going to have symptoms that don't look like they want to leave, but you, and they don't know why it is, so they asked for that tick test. So,
say that three times fast.
So he's going on, and those symptoms have to leave no matter what. But see, in addressing those, they found the other. So to God be the glory.
Amen. Are you here this morning? You need prayer for anything? I'm in a pretty good place for believing. And I'll be glad to pray for you. Amen. Amen. Anybody here this morning, you need prayer? I'll be glad to pray for you. Don't point at somebody. Grab them by the elbow and bring them.